This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. We're back for another hour or so of fun, frolic, and kind of an election hangover.
Big time. It seems to be going to get prolonged.
Oh, yeah, just what I want. Yeah, it looks like the lawsuit's already starting.
That's good. You know, we need those lawyers in there.
Give them something to do.
Yeah, you know, that way they're occupied and won't bother us commoners.
There you go. That's optimistic.
Well, thank you for listening today, and if you have any questions about your garden, your lawn, your fence, your deck, your trees, your shrubs, how to prune, how to fertilize, how to pull them out of the ground, how to plant new ones, you know, give me a call at 673-4464, and we'll have a discussion, okay? And I will hopefully enlighten you and give you some good hints that will make your job easier, safer, and successful. So, you know, I've learned a lot in the 46 years that I've been doing this. And, you know, I learned from a lot of my errors when I was younger in the business. And that's the best way to learn is you screw it up. And you go, oh, how did I do that? And then you find out the right way to do it. So now I can do it about 99% of the time the right way. I still make mistakes occasionally, but that's okay. Before I start my show, though, my Texas daughter came up to visit us this week, and so I took the morning off, and my wife and I took my daughter up the North Umpqua to see the devastation, you know, of the fires and stuff, and we went up as far as the Dogwood Motel, and it's not quite the Steamboat, but I know Norman Call, who owns it, and so consequently it was the devastation is just unbelievable. It is just, it makes you sick. It makes you want to cry, and you go, how in the world? Well, I know. I've been in timber management most of my professional life because I manage my own timber, and I have 2 degrees in forestry, so I have some background in this. And when I look and see what we do on our federal forests and things like that, I want to scream sometimes. And this was one of the, this was the net result of lack of management on our resources. So, because it's just devastating. It goes on for miles and miles, and it's burnt, and there was still stumps burning, not burning, but smoking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every once in a while you see smoke coming out, and there was a pile of slash or something, and it's still burning under the ground. It's still still cooking there. I think I saw at least 3 or 4 of them. Wasn't sure, but
which means there's more somewhere.
Well, yeah, sure. It's out because those root systems, when they catch on fire, they can burn and smolder all winter long, even with 2 feet of snow on the top of them.
Yeah,
and then the following spring you get the right conditions, and they can burst into flames again. That's how it is.
Not good.
One thing that gave me hope, though, as we're driving along on these really burnt places, I mean, it's all scorched earth, period. Mm-hmm. And right next to the road, there's these brand new ferns, hundreds and hundreds of ferns popping out of the soil. Some of them about a foot tall already, and they're just got like their single stem, and they're unfolding their first set of leaves. And there are hundreds of them, bright green, brand new ferns that had a fire swept through on the top of them, and the seed, the root, or whatever, it was did not get damaged, even though the ground was burned. Mm-hmm. And there's no other vegetation that's green in those places, but the ferns are just all up and down that road. I thought that was so...
Little baby ones.
Yeah, and so if anybody can kill a fern in their yard, they're really trying hard to do that, you know, but it's...
putting gas and everything on it.
Yeah, and Norman Call, he owns the Dogwood Motel up there, and... it was kind of interesting there as we're driving up there. I saw 3 or 4 houses that were okay, but all around them it was burnt. It was like the fire came right up to their yard and mm-hmm. stopped because there was no damage to their home at all. And it was like two or three of them at least that I saw. And then we got to the Dogwood Motel, and it's kind of a log cabin-ish kind of thing right there on the highway. Yeah. And there used to be a store right next door to it. The store was totally burnt to the ground, but the motel, there's not a burn spot
still
on
standing.
It. Still standing. I mean, still operating.
Yeah.
And then right across the highway, right there, because right on the North Umpqua, right across the highway, there were three homes totally destroyed. The only thing left were the foundations and the chimneys. Mm-hmm. The fireplace chimneys. That was the only thing that was left of them, and they're right on the edge of the North Umpqua River, and you know, probably 100 feet away, here's this motel, still standing.
Amazing?
Yeah, I don't know how that happens. I mean, it's crazy. So if you have the time to drive up the North Umpqua, just take a look, and you know, over the years, me and my family used to go up the North Umpqua. Oh, frequently, all the time, you know, in the summer, maybe once a week, going fishing, camping, picnicking, whatever, and just going for a ride to see Diamond Lake. Whatever. And, you know, that's what I drove through for all those years, all those beautiful trees and everything just
and
right up.
Gone.
For half a mile up one ridge or a mile up another ridge, gone. Mm. Just burnt snags standing there.
Mm.
And there's
terrible.
A lot of logging. They're logging. They're bringing loads and loads and loads of that burned timber out.
A little late now, but.
Well, it's still good. The wood is still good. The outer bark is burned, but for the most part, that. The wood itself is good. So they're just bringing truckloads of them. We probably saw, I'd say at least 20 truckloads coming out of there in the short time we went up. And we just drove up and then drove back.
Yeah.
Nice. So, you know.
So it's
so
work in progress.
Yeah, work in progress. So getting back to the garden show.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
We can always discuss ferns.
Ferns. I'm going to do some more research on ferns and find out, you know, how tough are they really, boy. Oh, gosh.
They look prehistoric.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're totally prehistoric. But today I wanted to talk about two classes of plants that are tough and beautiful that, you know, some people have them, and maybe some people that are just turning into the show don't know anything about them. And so, but anyway, I was going to talk a little bit more about camellias and Daphne. Camellias are sometimes they're a shrub, but they can grow into a small tree. Daphne, it rounds out about 4 to 6 feet, and so it's definitely a shrub.
Yeah.
But both are evergreen, and they bloom when it's cold and rainy.
Nice.
That's what I like about it. You know, you think, the winter's here, there's nothing blooming wrong. I've had camellias blooming in January, February, March, and April. I've had some of my camellias bloom for 5 and 6 months. You know, it's just,
really?
You know, and they're easy. They're nothing to them. You don't have to do anything to them.
My
kind
of plant.
Yeah, exactly. My kind of plant, too. That's why I grow so many of them. And Daphne, being the shrub that it is, it'll bloom in the cool January, February. It's in bloom, and it'll continue to bloom 5, 6 months, depending on its location. And both of them are similar in that they have the similar requirements for healthy growth, for good growth. And both of them are evergreen. and so they've always got, when they don't have blooms, they got leaves. So the bloom times can last easily 60 days and oftentimes more. Like I say, I've had mine last for months. And deer, may browse them, but they won't destroy them. They won't just totally rip them out of the ground.
They might take a little nibble.
Yeah, a little nibble. And I've had, I'll tell you a story about mine. I've already told the story a couple of times about it. But the Daphne is a shrub. But like I say, it can grow up to, in ideal conditions, say 8 to 10 feet tall and easily 6 feet wide. But they're slow growing. They don't just shoot up there like a fire bush, a photinia or something like that. And the one that does best in our area is called Daphne odora. And the common name is winter Daphne because it blooms in the winter and it looks good in the winter. And, of course, it comes from China and Japan, where it's colder than what we have here in Douglas County. And it's virus-free, by the way. Doesn't wear a mask or anything. Comes without mask. But the highlight of the Daphne are the blooms, because they are very, very fragrant, and you can smell them from 10, 20 feet away. You know, you get in a right spot where there's a little bit of breeze, and, you know, I mean, they're very, very fragrant. It's just like, woo! If you're allergic to really nice-smelling flowers, you probably wouldn't want to get a Daphne, but most people... and most ladies that I've sold Daphne to, they buy them because they love them. They buy them because they saw them at their neighbor's house and did some talking to the neighbor and said, where'd you get that or what is that? And the next thing I know, I'm out of Daphne because they're so good. And in a moderate rate of growth. In other words, they don't go really, really fast, but they don't go really slow. And it responds well to pruning and shaping. So you can, you know, you don't prune them into a box or a square or a perfect round, you know, kind of shrub thing.
Yeah.
They look good because they're more naturally growing, but you won't get one branch that shoots out. And if you did, just cut it off. But I've not seen that, and I've grown them for a lot of years. But the flowers have shades of pink, red, and white, often in the same bloom, and there's one that blooms with white flowers only, and it's okay and it looks good, but the multiple colored ones are a whole lot more attractive. They stand out, and they're very, very fragrant. They like a little morning sun and lots of afternoon shade. That's their best thing, their best setting. And the soil, of course, is important, that it has to be loose, fast draining, with mulch or potting soil mixed in. Pretty much the same soil mix as rhodies and azaleas and other things. Pretty much the same soil mix with everything that I planted on a landscaping job in Douglas County. We do that to everything we plant, whether it's a cactus or a giant sequoia or a Daphne. Because I want to make sure that when I work for my clients that they're successful with their care of their yard and everything grows well. So the better you make the soil, the better chance, it's not a chance. You take all the chance away. You're going to have good success if you do it correctly. And a Daphne doesn't need a whole lot of water. So you don't want to put it in the middle of a lawn or something like that. But you can put it in the outskirts of the yard in a mulch bed or something like that. And I don't have a sprinkler system at home. Everything we have, we water by hand. So I always get tough stuff. So if I do water it the first year, it might be once a week or once every 10 days. Well, I can't remember the last time I watered my Daphne. It was sometime like September, maybe.
Last year.
Yeah, that's last September.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, gosh, yeah. And that's why I like them. They're just tough and easy. And... you know, and when you fertilize a Daphne, and they don't need a whole lot of fertilizer, but when you do fertilize a Daphne, you fertilize it right after it's finished blooming. Mm. And you do it with a complete, well-balanced fertilizer, like with a rhodie-type, azalea-type fertilizer. And then, you only water it if it's... really droopy looking and looks thirsty, and that's an obvious thing to see because the leaves are drooping. You know, usually they stand out horizontally and they're straight and stiff and all that, but occasionally I've come home in the summer when it's 90 degrees, yeah, and the leaves are kind of droopy. It's not dying, but it's droopy. So I give it a shot of water, but then only, like I say, it might happen twice a month. Maybe three times a month if it's 100 degrees for a week and a half.
Needs a little help.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, run the hose for an hour. I just, you know, give it about three, four gallons maybe. And I would consider that a heavy watering.
Wow.
And then they're good.
Doesn't take much at all.
Pardon me?
Doesn't take very much at all.
No, not at all. And it all, like I say, the other looks good. And supposedly deer don't eat them, right? Well, I've told this story before. When my Daphne was about 3 years old, looking pretty good, growing fairly nice, and I walked by it every morning on the way to my truck, and back to the house when I'm done. Well, one day, I think it was like in June, probably June, and I'm walking back to the house from the truck, and I noticed that the deer had visited my Daphne.
Oh, no.
Now, they didn't destroy it completely, but they bit off all the new growth on the top. And probably took 6 inches off the plant. Well, the plant was, 2.5 feet tall, so 6 inches, And there was maybe one broken branch, and I thought, oh, man, they're not supposed to do this. They're supposed to ignore Daphne. They don't like Daphne, according to the books.
Supposed to repel them.
Right. They didn't read the book, man.
Yeah.
And usually it's fawns that do it, because they're crazy. They eat anything.
They don't know the difference.
Yeah, the mama deer probably didn't. Probably the fawn came in, she'd say, hey, try one of those Daphne, kid. In all the years I've had that plant in the ground, I think it's been in maybe 10 years, it's only been, and out of all that 10 years, it's only been eaten once in
really?
10 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it is deer, not proof, but deer resistant. And if they resist it, if they only chomp on it once every 10 years, I say that's good resistance.
That's not bad.
Yeah. We got a break?
We do.
Okay.
All righty. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
That's a moment, I guess.
Moments, hours.
Yeah. With more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, we stick together. 76 degrees, you said?
Yeah, in the parking lot out here, it was 76 degrees.
Nice.
I'm off of my truck. And this is November?
No, it's supposed to be winter almost.
At least late fall.
Late fall.
Yeah. When's the first day of winter? December 21st or something?
I think somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
The deer don't know it either.
No, the turkeys don't. There are more. I see more turkeys on the road anymore than I've seen in years. I mean, 20 of them crossing the road.
It's like people just let them loose.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're wild ones. They're just all these wild dudes.
Wild brown ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Big ones, too. I went to a client's house yesterday, day before.
Yeah.
And he had about, I think he had, there was four big, they were big turkeys. And he followed him around the yard. These are the wild ones that fly away at night. But he brings a little goodies out for him and feeds him. So they just follow him all over his yard.
Home.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking in his yard, and they're standing 4 feet away from me. And I'm going, those are wild turkeys, aren't they? He said, oh, yeah. they don't look too wild to me, Bubba.
Yeah, some of those are mean things.
Oh, yeah, they can be. And you see a whole bunch of them laying on the road, too, kind of flat with ugly feathers bent up. Anyway, I was talking about...
How did they get there?
I don't know. They flew into a car or something. Oh, gosh. But I was talking about Daphne before the break and how only one year out of 10 did the deer snip on mine. So I can say with, confidence that, 1 year out of 10 ain't bad.
Yeah.
And so feel free to grow them. But there are six other varieties that will grow in the area, but the Daphne Adora, the winter Daphne, seems the best for our area. I've seen the other ones. They're not as pretty. They bloom and they have a good fragrance, but the overall look of the plant, it's not as pretty as the Daphne Adora.
Hmm.
But so if you have a nice shady area in your yard, good drainage, the Daphne would be a good addition to your landscape if you're looking for something that's hardy, beautiful, and easy to take care of. It's a no-brainer. The other winter bloomer I like is, of course, and when I say winter bloomer, they can bloom January, February, but I like as a camellia. And I talked about camellias here recently, but you know, it's a large shrub or small tree. How it depends on how you grow it, how you treat it, how you prune it. But it's native. It grows wild, okay? When they say it's native, it grows wild in Eastern and Southern Asia. You know, just there it is. It's like vine maple here or madrones. You know, you've got camellias growing in the wild in Asia, so they do well. And there are 3,000 varieties of camellias. Now, I didn't see all 3,000 of them. I'm sure there's a book out there with all 3,000 varieties, but I looked at about 10 or 15 varieties, I think. And, you know, I read about them, just see where they grow, you know, how they grow, this, what they look like. And most of them will probably do fairly well here because we have a fairly, you know, good moderate climate. And they can grow in the sun, but they're better if they have afternoon shade. It's just better. The blooms are spectacular. They're very colorful and in many forms. They come in like in a single bloom, a semi-double bloom, a peony form, a layered form, a rose form, and a double. I mean, there's really not enough to choose from there, is there?
Yeah.
But they have all, and they're... Some of the flowers can be just pure pink or pure red, and then some will be red with white streaks through it. Real, you know, just different
yeah.
looking.
Yeah.
And mine are fully budded. I got about six big, I've pruned them into trees and they're at the nursery. And sometime December, January, they start to bloom out, and then they're fully bloomed out by 1st of February. And they'll hold their blooms... clear into May.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're fewer, but they're there's some of them are still holding the bloom on, and they look good the whole time. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And
it's a long season.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I've got these guys are about 10, 12 feet tall. I pruned them from shrubs into trees, and one of them has a single stem, a single trunk, and some of them have multiple trunks. Like, I think most of them have. I try to leave three trunks and you know, just give them a special look.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But you can do that with these things. And like I said, they can grow in the sun, but they like that afternoon shade. It's better. The blooms will last longer, and they're good. The main troublemaker for camellias is too much water as due to poor drainage. Mm. So I plant mine in bark mulch and never have a problem. The ones I planted at the nursery, we built a raised planter about 3 feet tall, filled it with bark, and then we planted everything. You know, it's just a showpiece, and planted them in there, and they love it. they do well. You know, you can't overwater them because the water will run through the bark, but you know, some of the bark will soak in the water, but it's not soggy, soppy, swampy kind of wet.
Right,
And that's the perfect that's the perfect deal. And so when you plant them in bark, you never have a problem. You plant them in clay or hard soil, that's when you start to have problems. They just don't do well.
They don't like it.
They don't like it. They can't breathe. You know, they stay wet. You rot the roots, all that kind of stuff.
Not good.
Yeah. Now, camellias will also do good in a container. So if you have a big pot and, you know, maybe 2 feet deep and 2 feet across or something like that, some real nice pot container that you might leave on the deck or on the front porch at your entry or something like that, they'll do well in that. The only problem with that, they can't stay in there forever because eventually the root systems just kind of run out of room.
Yeah.
But if you keep them pruned and keep them small, try to keep them in balance, they don't grow as many roots. And they're very decorative. And it's like I say, it's a no-brainer plant. Nothing... I don't have problems with my camellias ever. And we grow about, we grow about 100 of them a year, something like that.
Wow.
From cuttings. We take cuttings and put them in the greenhouse and grow the roots on them. Then we pot them up and we keep them in small pots for about a year. And as they grow, we move them up in pot size until they're... And in about 2 years, two good growing seasons, we'll have a camellia that's maybe 3 feet, 3.5 feet tall in a container, which is a good saleable item. Mm-hmm. And
they have
blooms, and they have buds and blooms at that time in the pots too. So when they're blooming, that's when they sell the most because they're so beautiful.
So you can't lose.
Yeah, you can't lose. But they're good decorations. You know, you put them in a pot, mm-hmm. put them on the deck, put them on, you know, have a forest of them on the deck as long as you get that afternoon shade in there.
Yeah.
And because it'll, the full sun in a pot especially, the full sun will have a tendency to, for the leaves to go from a nice deep shiny green to a kind of a pale yellow, maybe crispy on the edges. And that, and when that's happening, when you see that happening on the plant, it's either getting too much sun or too much water. Or even too much fertilizer, you know. So,
yeah.
Like I say, they're tough. They don't need anything. they just need a little bit of water.
They're on their own.
Yeah, they're on their own. Regular pruning is good when they're in a pot. And you don't have to prune them too much when they're in the yard. But there are some things you need to do when you plant them in the yard, especially if you're not familiar with their
environment.
Growth. Their environment. They can do a lot. Here's some of the main problems of camellias.
Yeah.
And the problems are created by people. People that have no experience with a camellia. And they'll buy a camellia because it's beautiful and they like it. And wherever they buy it, oftentimes in a box store, there's not too many experienced plant people other than they're salespeople, and they're nice and all that, but they don't know how to grow, or they don't know how to prune, water, fertilize.
They don't have that experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're nice and all that. They just don't know. So you buy this and you take it home and you make mistakes. And there are some of the mistakes. And this is.
Can we do that after the break?
If you insist.
No. You look disappointed.
I was.
Mistake time in about 2 minutes on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
All right, we left you with a cliffhanger before the break.
I don't even remember what cliff I was hanging on when I did that either, you know?
It might be a mistake.
It could be. Maybe this is the wrong day. I was beginning to speak about camellia problems and how are they're created by people.
Yeah.
Like
most things.
Yeah, well, when they're planted incorrectly, that it causes problems. And if you don't have experience, it can turn into a very big problem. And they could die because you didn't do it right. They're, like I said earlier, they're tough, they're hardy, they grow quite large. So if you're a novice gardener, what you want to do is get advice about the camellia you just bought. And if you ask questions of the place that you bought it and they don't know the answer, go somewhere where they actually grow these things, like Wintergreen Nursery, and ask them, how do I grow this camellia? How do I plant this camellia? How do I water it? How do I fertilize it? How do I prune it? You know, all those things are important for the overall success and health for your plant. You don't want to spend, you know, $30 or $50 or whatever size you buy, take it home and stuff it in some hole and expect it to do good, because it's not. And you want to know, hey, what kind of soil does it need? And that's what we make sure when we're selling plants, and if I'm there selling plants, I ask somebody, do you know how to take care of this? Do you know how to plant it? Do you know how to? Oh yeah, some people say, yeah, I've been doing this for years and years. But if you got any advice, and I can give them the short course, like this is the long course here today, but give them the short course, and I go, yeah, okay, well, I didn't know that. Well, thanks, but they knew. Say, I told them five things, and they knew four of them, so that's good. Everybody learns. That's what I do, and so if you're the novice gardener, you haven't done it before, you got a brand new house or you got a brand new apartment and you want to put a camellia in a pot on your deck or something like that, find out how to take care of it. You'll be, you know, money ahead, and you'll see that. You know, and since they grow, they can grow 10 feet tall and 8 feet wide, and so you got to give them room to grow. So you know, without being crowded against a wall or a fence or a sidewalk or
up against the wall
or a dry up against the wall, camellia, spread them. or a driveway where they're going to be a problem, and they're not going to have good growth and that kind of thing. And remember, if you're starting with a plant, say 3-4 feet tall, that would be a good size camellia. And maybe it's 18 inches wide. Don't plant it within 6 feet of a structure, unless you plan on, you know, keeping it pruned to fit the location.
making more work than you need.
Yeah, and I've seen, when folks that aren't experienced with this, they buy a 1 gallon size plant, and maybe it's 2 feet tall. Yeah. It's cute, it's small, and they plant it right up against the building or right up against a wall or right next to the driveway where they drive their car in. Not knowing that in 5 years or 6 years, they're going to have a problem, and they're going to either move it or take it out or keep it really pruned or that kind of thing.
A lot of work.
Yeah, because there are times I see them planted 2 feet from a foundation in a yard. And then a client calls me up and says, oh, my camellia is growing up under the eaves of my roof and getting into my gutter, and it's right up against the house. Well, they planted it, I look at the trunk and the roots, and they're 2 feet from the foundation. And I said, well, we can prune it. We can save it and prune it, but it's going to have a fairly drastic pruning. We're going to have to prune it at least, say, 30% or 40% and get it back to size. And then when we get it to that size, you as the camellia owner are going to have to consistently prune every year a little bit to keep it in shape. So it's not, you got this one side of the plants up against the wall, then the other side is reaching for the sun, and it's reaching way out, so it's really lopsided, and it's not attractive. I mean, it's growing, it's healthy.
It's doing
but it's reaching for what little sun it can get, because some of the overhangs on roofs go out, 2-3 feet, and it does like a little bit of morning sun, so it's trying to reach for that, but it can't get there, and the rest of it's up against the wall. I could name some people, but they might hear me. but that's important. Get it out 5 or 6 feet away. Give it room to grow. It'll grow. It may look a little weird and a little dwarfed, the first few years because it is a small plant.
It'll grow out.
It does grow out. Yeah. Trust me. They grow not because of you, but in spite of you. And so like 3 or 4 feet out, you're looking good. And don't... Like I say, if you get closer than 6 feet of any structure, you're going to, a fence isn't as bad as the side of the garage or the side of the house, because usually it's more open. But again, when you just do a fence, unless you have some shade trees or something, larger shade trees in the area, and it's in full sun, it's going to struggle a little bit. I grow some in full sun just to test them, just to see, how tough
the outcome. Yeah.
Yeah. And after a couple of years and they're sitting in the field and they're growing, and I can say, well, this one will grow in full sun pretty good, pretty well. And they're going to be nice for you, and they're not going to crowd you out, and you're not going to run your car into them by looking over your shoulder as you're pulling into the driveway, and you go, oh no, I hit my camellia, man.
No sun. Or rather the sun.
Oh gosh. But, you know, if you prune them, you save the plant from extreme pruning if it's needed.
Yeah.
But they'll recover no matter what you do. I've cut them to where they had, you know, 5 or 6 leaves on them. A 2-inch trunk with 5 or 6 leaves on it looks really strange. But within a year, you've got a whole set. Yeah, they're not all of them, but most of them are back. And the year after that, they look like you never pruned them.
So in that respect, they're like a rose bush.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, exactly. That's a good comparison right there. You know, lightly, and camellias respond well. If you got to shape them, you let them bloom, and as soon as the blooms fall off, go ahead and prune them. I mean, the new growth is coming. You can prune them. You can prune them in the winter as well, but if you want to just snip them back lightly after they've done bloom, the blooms are done, maybe May, June, or whatever, go ahead and snip them, shape them, round them off, square them off, turn them into a tree. Use your imagination.
Shape me any way you want me.
Exactly. And once you start, you stay with it. You stay with it. You don't ignore it and say, oh, I'll get it next year.
Wrong.
Yeah. So the other mistake that I see oftentimes, and I preach about this all the time, but I don't know who's listening and who's not, but planting in poor soil with poor drainage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most of Douglas County is clay soil. It's heavy-duty stuff. It's clay, it's shale, it's rocks, it's all that stuff. And it drains very poorly when it's saturated, like in the normal winter when it rains, and fall and spring, and when it rains, go take your shovel out and put it in your backyard where you want to plant a tree, and see how nicely or whatever that quote soil comes out. Now, if you dig in there and you bring up your shovel and the soil doesn't fall off your shovel, that's a good sign that it's pretty heavy duty clay.
Yeah.
If you got to bang it on the ground to get the dirt off, that's clay, and ain't much gonna grow in that successfully.
No. Yeah.
So that's why you need to modify your soil base right there, and I've talked about this, you know, lots of times here, because if you just dig a hole in some clay and stick whatever kind of plant, I don't care what it is, you just stick a plant in there and then throw the original soil back in there and stomp on it, it ain't gonna make it. Very few will make it in that respect. But the trick is, you dig a hole twice the size of the container. You know, if it's a gallon size pot, you make it, instead of 8 inches wide, you make it 16 inches wide. These are minimums I'm talking about. And if it's 8 inches deep, you do it 16 inches deep. Then you have your good soil mix that you put in on the bottom of the hole and around the sides of the root ball after you take it out of the pot. This is good because it's going to be good drainage. And when the primary roots begin to come out of the root ball, there's no resistance. This good potting mix that you put in with them gives them no resistance, so they can grow very quickly and get settled in there and do the trick. And then after they've been in the ground a year or two, they can get into this heavy duty clay soil because they've got a good base from which to start.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you have a baby, they don't eat a hamburger the first day out. They're on milk, and then they graduate to that Gerber
junior baby
food stuff that looks like mush and tastes like whatever. But because they don't got any teeth and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. As they get older, then their system can handle harder foods. They've got teeth. They can chew toast or hamburger or carrots or, you know, whatever you got.
Right.
Well, same with a plant. You know, when you first plant it, you got those, they're hair roots. They're called hair roots because they're as thin as hair. And those are the ones that are the primary roots. Those are the ones that come out first and kind of begin to anchor the plant into its home there.
Yeah.
And as they develop, and they hit the outside of the good soil and there's the bad soil, well, at least they have the momentum to keep going. They'll grow more slowly when they hit the hard clay, but they still grow nonetheless because their base is good.
Mm-hmm.
They've got teeth at that point, if you will. Okay.
Yeah.
And
they don't have dentures.
Right. And the more, And I use, like, I've used bark mulch, I use potting soil, I used, you get a particular plant and some hard ground and put a third of nice topsoil, a third of bark mulch, and a third of potting soil. Mix it all together in the hole, and you've got one of the best soil mixes you could possibly get, and you're not going to have any problems with overwater or root stagnation or anything like that. And you know, when you're spending money on plants, and let's say you spend $1,000 to landscape your backyard with plants, you don't want 50% of them to bite the dust in the first summer.
It's spendy.
And then redo it again, and nobody gives you the information on how to do it right. Because over the years, I used to keep track a lot better, but over the years, everything that we've ever planted, I would say we've had 99% success. Occasionally, a tree dies, or occasionally a shrub dies, but very occasionally, because I make sure that when I leave, that homeowner knows what to do. I write it down for him. All this stuff, I give him a copy and say, here, this is it. I explain it to him. And the thing that gets him most, too, is, you know, we're talking, and I say, well, I'm going to go, but remember, I do drive-bys. I'll go by a week later and just drive slowly, and I can see all the plants or the lawn in the front yard, you know, in a glance, because I know what to look for. And if I see anything wrong, I'll stop and I'll tell them. And you know, they're aware that I'm out there looking.
You're out there.
But what happens is they'll have success with their landscape that they spent thousands of dollars
on.
They
appreciate it.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, now my crew does it, too. So
there you go.
All right. It's, hey, Mrs. Jones, guess what? Your tree, blah, blah, blah. And they feel the soil is either bone dry or saturated, you know, both ends of the spectrum that are bad.
Yeah.
And they say, this is what you got to do. Don't water it so much. Or this is bone dry. You got to water it a little bit more. And people, like I say, appreciate that.
Sure.
Because they invested all those bucks.
Yeah.
So, we got a break.
Well, one last break.
Well, let's take it.
Let's do it. All right, two more minutes, and we'll be right back. Mike Winters, Lawn and...
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back with more of Mike Winters' Lawn and Garden Show, and it appears we have a phone call.
Woohoo!
You ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, shoot. I guess we lost her.
Well,
lost them.
Please call back. We were at a commercial break, and sometimes it happens.
Yeah, my eyes aren't what they used to be.
He's really old, I'll tell you. Oh, gosh. Well, at any rate, I've been talking about camellias and plants that, how to plant them, and the mistakes that people make as far as placement, as far as planting medium, watering. And the last thing I want to talk about is fertilization. And when you fertilize like a Daphne or a new camellia, it's best to use something like a rhododendron fertilizer, and I'll say this for fertilizers for rhododendrons and azaleas. That's what you want to do. It's low in nitrogen and high in phosphorus and potassium. Phosphorus and potassium promote root growth and blooming in those kinds of plants. So if you fertilize like in February or March and again in October, that's about all you want to do. And you want to go lightly. Don't give it a big shot just because you think it needs a big shot of fertilizer. Go lightly. You can always add some more later if you think it needs it. But if you go lightly and, like I say, do it a couple of times a year minimum, you'll have good success. They'll grow well. They'll be tough, and they'll survive. And like I say, a little goes a long way. And you can always add more, but you can't take it out if you put too much in, and that's what burns up plants.
You want to try the phone call again?
Okay, the phone call on?
All right. Are you there? We're on with Mike Winters.
I am here. Mike, I'm one of the homeowners that lost a home right across the dogwood.
Uh-huh.
I had a big camellia there, and, I mean, the whole trunk of it is there, but the top portion, of course, burned. Do you think there's any possibility of, you know, trying to baby that along and see if we could save it, or do you think that's probably toast?
Are there any leaves on it at all?
No.
Is okay, the part that's left, have you scratched the bark and see if it's green under the bark?
Have not, but I will do that.
Okay, take a knife or something like that and scrape a little bit of the bark. And if it's green underneath, that means it's still alive. And what the heck, you got nothing to lose by letting it stay there until next spring. And if it's alive and the roots haven't been damaged by, oh shoot, February, March, maybe even April, you'll see new buds coming out on it. And if you see new buds coming on it, you're good to go.
Okay. Well, that'd be awesome.
Okay. Don't give it any super duper fertilizer. Just let it go natural.
Well, it's going to have to, because it's going to be on its own, I'm afraid.
Good. Well, just keep an eye on it. But test and just now, if you scrape and there's no green underneath the bark, and you scrape in several locations and there's no green at all, it's just brown and hard, that means it's not going to make it.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, that'll be good to know.
Yeah.
I was also going to share with you that had a big hosta bed and a lot of hellebores in the back. It was quite shady there, but all of that burned. However, back behind one of the trees, I have three of the hostas that are coming up just as big as you please.
Yeah, they're tough. They're really tough.
They are. So yeah. There's always a glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
All right. Good luck. Thank you.
So are we out of time?
We are quickly running out of time.
Well, that was a timely phone call then, huh?
It was. Perfect.
What do I got? A minute?
No, you got less than that. You got about 5 seconds.
In other words, I could hold my breath for 5 seconds.
There you go.
See you next week. See you in 167 hours.
Where are you located there in Winston, Mike?
Highway 99 south of Winston. And our roofs are all green, and we've got lots of nice landscaping sitting out there. You can't miss us, and we're really, really looking forward to having you visit. Thank you.
All righty. We'll catch you next week.
Hopefully.
Yeah. The afternoon report is next. It's 5 o'clock.